What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Technology Tools and Athletic Training. So we're looking at tech tools that help the athletic trainer today. And we've got some guests. We got Lyle Danley working with minor league professional baseball. We've got Clint Sanders, who just transitioned into a job with Dragonfly Athletics, a tech company that's helping athletic trainers. And then we got Jordan Wheezy. He also commented on my Twitter post asking about what tech tools help you out. So we're going to hear from you guys about how these tech tools have helped you, because you're the guy, you're the ones that gave me the feedback, and so you're the ones that are the expert in using them. And then we're going to, obviously, I know a little bit about technology, just a little bit. And then joining me is Sean Ree. So Sean is helping out, does a great job here, and last week saved the show as I was... had a last-minute scramble. So, without much further ado, I am the host, Jeremy Jackson. This show is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/technology. So, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/technology. There's going to be a lot of things listed, and all the ones that I previously had listed, there's links for them. If we mention anything else, I'll do my best to have it listed and links in the show notes. So, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/technology. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start off with Clint. You are up on the screen. So why don't you start off with, if you had one technology tool to help you in the athletic training room, what's it going to be?
Well, right now for me, it would be Dragonfly Max, which is the product that I'm actually helping develop. It's a athletic medical records platform, and it's all about making it easy for the athletic trainer to actually have good electronic injury documentation. So I've been interested in that side of things for a little over a decade now. Started off with a group in Nashville, Star Physical Therapy, and was working for them for a while. And the way we did it, things was paper, you know, everything's on paper. And I got tired of that, 'cause I'm a bit of a geek. And so started exploring some of the options that were out there, and just wasn't really satisfied with what was out there, and ran across Dragonfly Max last year, started using the product. It's all mobile based and it's free to use for athletic trainers. So, you know, it made sense to try it out, and used it, really enjoyed using it. It's easy to use. And, kind of started consulting with them a little bit to help them better understand what an athletic trainer actually does on a daily basis. And it's kind of taken off from there, and started working with them about 3 weeks ago, actually in a full-time role, so that they can have an athletic trainer in-house. And but that's the one that I would use. You know, it's obviously, I'm a bit of a geek, so I got a lot more tools that I'm sure we'll get to, but that would be the big one for me right now.
All right, Jordan, you got one tool. What's that going to be?
I would say probably Dragonfly Max as well. I just started using it probably about 3-4 months ago. It's helped me overall, because you can do your injury documentation right on your phone, right on your tablet. They're great customer service. I had a couple of problems when I first started. Brandon over there, he was great, taking me through step by step, you know, exactly how to use it. If I had any questions, I could shoot him a personal text message. He would call me back almost instantly. I like it because it's pretty much makes my documentation go from pencil and paper. I can now do it on a bus. I don't have to carry around big stacks of paper to do my injury tracking. If I'm on the road, I can do it really quick. The other thing that's pretty neat about using Dragonfly Max is you can get your coaches and all your administration on board as well, with parents, as well as the parents too. So they can see kind of lifetime injuries, kind of what your notes are on those injuries. And then the most important thing that coaches want to know is, when can that kid get back? And Dragonfly Max makes it really nice with color-coded. You can put in there, you know, when that kid can be back to practice, when that kid can go back to games. Another thing that's nice about it is you can take pictures. So, you know, if you say get a doctor's note from somebody, I can just take that picture and attach it right to that person's file. So I don't have to, again, keep track of all that paperwork. I mean, I keep it in a file and it's all on my phone. I can access it wherever I am.
All right. So Dragonfly Max has two votes. Lyle.
Well, I'm a little restricted by my job. I had all of pro baseball, major league, and all their minor league affiliates will use a system put together by Sutton Labs. It's called Athlete Health Management System. We use it, and the NHL uses it, and ours is it's completely integrated. Everybody has to use the same system, and everybody logs into it just with their assigned token codes and everything. And it's really great for portability, because since everybody's on the same interface, you whatever, like say I put an ATC note in or a doctor's note or a diagnostic, where you can upload the DICOM and be able to look at it up there, and say I have a player that gets traded to the Braves. Well, my buddy that's in Rome can pull up and see exactly what I've done, all the treatments and everything. It's all saved on the same platform. So I have experience using other things like Next and Sims from college and grad school, but for what I do and for everything that I need to do with EMR, I'm pretty happy with how Sutton works. Then again, not everybody's able to do that, because, like I say, I think it's just MLB and NHL that has the contract with them.
All right, so the electronic records management would be your one tool if you could only pick one?
Well, I think that's a little reductive to say pick one tool. I pull out my phone or pull out my iPad, and I got about 16 different apps that I like to play around with based on their stuff. You can look at it for references for medications. I use the Huddle video app to video somebody, and you can slow it down to a frame by frame, so you can show them kind of a motion pattern that they're in, and you can, you know, draw angles and things like that. I have a reference app called Core that looks at orthopedic tests, and it has it. It's basically like taking a McGee textbook and putting it into an app where you can look at body segment, and then look at what you're testing for, whether it's instability and neuropathy or what have you.
We're gonna get to those, but that's what I'm saying. We're just playing the game. You got one tool. Is it gonna be the?
I'm not playing the game. I use it all, and I'm happy to have it. I'll use my phone.
Okay. All right. So you're just gonna use it all. But all right. Well, here at Pasadena ISD, we use Rank One Sport, and it works fairly well for us. We can do all of our physicals online, and when we have kids transfer within the district, we can easily switch that there. Just switch the kid over, because they're all the paperwork except for the physical that comes from the doctor, then we usually scan that and upload it. We don't have the opportunity to take a picture and upload it, as far as I know. So we have to have the scanner, and it's, I would not say the cleanest interface. It looks like you are working, on an Access file or on a, I don't know, just an old Microsoft Word document type thing. So it's not the cleanest, prettiest, most modern looking, but it does the job. And our coaches know, hey, if the kid's not clear, if they're red, they're not clear. If they're green, they're clear. Make sure you add them to your roster. Make sure you add them to your deal. If they're red, they need to come see us and find out why. And so we use Rank One Sport here, but I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about Dragonfly Max. And so we can continue on
well,
that there.
I think, Jeremy, the question would be, is that your one tool?
I think I would honestly say my one tool, my one technology tool, if I had to pick one, then I'm going to pick Facebook, the Secondary School Athletic Trainer Group, because there's a lot of things that I don't think about, a lot of things that I don't know about. And so that's a great resource, because in that group, there's 4,100, I think, athletic trainers. And so between 4,100 people at a high school, you've seen or experienced probably every injury that can happen. And somebody in there is going to have an answer or an opinion on ways to treat it, or different takes or perspectives. So if I'm going to say one tool, that's going to be it. So,
All right.
One of the answers I got was C3 Logics, which was from LSU Athletic Training. So they responded to my Twitter poll there. So it's C3 Logics. Anybody use that?
Yeah, we did in grad school and at all of the high schools in College Station and Bryan ISD. It's a really great program for kind of standardizing your concussion assessments and concussion baselines. They have it set up on an iPad. You put a belt around them, and you rig the iPad to the belt. So whenever you do the BESS, it actually uses the gyroscope in the iPad to measure movement, rather than just like eyeballing it. You put in your best score as you eyeball it, but it also looks at the movements. They do a couple of the neurocog tests that that Impact uses. So they have an eye tracking test, and they also have like the dotted line test. So they have those added in. And then it's, you know, what everybody does, a standard kind of, what do they call them, the SCAT, where you take them through that sort of thing. It's really nice the way it's set up because everything's put on a cloud, and they have it set up where you can use kind of a, like you can put it in a physicals mode where you can just run someone through a station. You can set up the iPad just for doing their best or just for doing their eye tracking or just for doing that. And then usually the company will send out a stack of littler iPads that for taking the history and for doing kind of the input, you can put them all in a room and do that. And then just kind of call them back for stations one at a time. The way that we utilized it, it was super efficient and a lot better than maybe just doing like a paper version of the SCAT and recording that.
Does it have an on-field assessment portion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you keep that iPad with you, and you can set it up for an on-field assessment where you're just taking like a symptom score and doing a SCAT, or you can do it for more like, I guess, a clinical type thing where you're doing those components plus the neurocog components based on, because like with us in baseball, I'm not going to do an impact on anybody until they're symptom-free. And so you can skip that stuff and just do like the SCAT and the clinical assessment and the symptom score. And it keeps track of all of those and you can go back and look. And it has it set up on an interface where it shows you kind of baseline and then where they're at and then how they improve, the same way that a lot of other services do.
Now, are you able to pull from the impact test and pull that into that, I guess?
No.
No.
They're competitors. One was developed by the Cleveland Clinic and one was developed by the medical center in Pittsburgh. And so they're not, I don't think that they're set up to interface together. The idea is that C3 Logix is kind of your one-stop shop because they have a neurocog component. They have a balance component. They have a visual acuity component. Whereas we know that impact is more of a neurocog component than anything else.
So you just said you wouldn't impact test but you're saying currently you wouldn't impact test until they're symptom free.
Right. Yeah. Baseball has a protocol that's set up by the commissioner's office that it's kind of its own deal and you have to follow it because that's the rules. And impact is what they choose to use.
All right. Gotcha. So we use impact here in the high school because again, that's what the hospital that we partner with, that's what they do. That's what they use. So again, you have to pay for those. So they provide those impact tests for us to do. They send some people out to help us do the impact testing. And so, if they went to C3 Logix, then I'd have that opportunity to work with that there. So, all right. So the next thing I have up on my list is Dragonfly Max. So we've talked a little bit about it. Clint, you talked about it. Jordan, you talked about it. You were the first one to mention it. And it was actually the first time I've seen it. So, Jordan, why don't you tell me just a little bit more about your personal experience with Dragonfly Max?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I started using it about 3-4 months ago. I found it on actually Twitter. I was kind of just looking for different options, trying to get something that's cost effective that I can use to kind of get on my phone. There's a lot of different options out there. I've looked at a few different ones, and Dragonfly Max was one. It's free. You sign up. They contact you, they ask you a few questions, kind of make sure you're comfortable with using it, and then they provide you a school code, and you can use that school code. So what's nice is, and Clint might be able to talk a little bit about this too, but they're rolling out a forms section, so you can do it online as well. And so the form section, I think, is going to be really helpful for, a high school athletic trainer who maybe doesn't have all the resources to spend, a couple $1,000s on licensing to do online or kind of on that cloud injury tracking. I know, for instance, I got contacted 2 weeks ago from a company and they wanted almost $3,000 with the amount of students that we have at our high school just to do a form section. And this, like I said, Dragonfly Max is free. So that's the thing that kind of stuck out for me was it's free. They have good customer service. Like I said, if you have any questions, and they're fairly new, and so they're looking for feedback. So, I talk all the time to their developers. I talk all the time to the guy who kind of gave me the in on it. And they're looking to basically mold it around the profession of athletic training. So that's what's nice. It's not just a program that somebody created They actually want feedback from athletic trainers. If there's something that's working, if there's something that's not, they're asking all the time for feedback. And I think that's the important thing, is because the program's out there, but it's not really being utilized to the best of its ability. And you know, we always find faults in programs that we're using. So I think it's nice that Drag Climb Athlete is reaching out and wants the feedback. And they've done a lot of new things that they see, yeah, that's working, or no, that's really not working, let's change it up a bit.
All right, Clint, what do you have to add there about Dragonfly Max?
Well, I mean, I think where Max came from the start, it's been in beta for, well, and I say in beta, on our end, we kind of say it's just kind of rolled into its 1.0 release. But by beta, we mean we're just trying to get a lot of feedback. I ran into Brandon, who is our customer sales rep. I ran into him as part of what I was doing with the Tennessee Athletic Trainer Society. He contacted us. They wanted to get some feedback and wanted to get it out to lots of athletic trainers. I said, yeah, sure. Come be a rep and, you know, or be a sponsor at our meeting. And then I started looking at the software, and just like Jordan said, it's really easy to use. It's really, there's a lot of simplicity to it. We tried to avoid the, you know, design based on an Access database, but rather tried to go mobile first. And as I continued to give them feedback, I realized, just like Jordan, these guys really respond. They want to make a good product. And I approached them with the idea of, look, there is a huge opportunity for software in the athletic training community, but the costs are so high. And so, you know, we kind of had a commitment of, we're not going to charge the athletic trainer. The athletic trainer, school administrators, coaches, all of that, they're going to have the software for free for as long as we can keep it that way. And Dragonfly has other business ventures that we're a part of, which allows the app to be free. So it's not like they're throwing something together and it's going to fall apart a week from now. It's there is funding there to back what's going on. And so, you know, the tools that we're building, like we just released SCAT for Android to be able to do a SCAT evaluation on Android. It was already in iOS that released in November. You know, that's a great tool to do a quick sideline SCAT evaluation. We've got rehab and strength stuff built into the app that with a you know, a good size exercise library, but it's also very customizable to use. So if you wanted to add a specific exercise that's not in there, you can snap a picture, you can add some instructions, and then you can assign those to the athletes. And if the athletes are set up, they get that right on their phone. You know, they've always got their phones with them. So, you know, you might as well utilize that as best you can. And so, that's what we're trying to do with Max is understand the athletic training profession enough to build a tool that's useful for athletic trainers, for coaches, for athletes, for parents, and kind of go from there. And it is free. And that's, you know, we tell people, look, sign up for it. You can't really break it. If you do, if, you know, something trips you up, you just shoot us a call or send us a message. And it's easy to get in touch with us, and we're going to respond to you and find out what's the issue and how we can fix it and hopefully get it fixed within a day or two. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but for the most part, you know, nothing that you could run across would keep you from using the app. If it does, we're going to get that fixed right away. So, and like I said, I looked at a lot of these. I looked at Rank One. I looked at Sims and Sportswear and all of those. And, you know, as an AT, I was just never satisfied with any of those. We even tried to build a custom one at one point for the organization I was with. And you know, it's just not cost effective. And Max is. So I would encourage all ATs to at least sign up and try it out. And if you don't like it, you know, then you move on to something else. But it's a good place to start.
All right. Sounds like, I said, I looked into it. I didn't sign up because we use Rank One. It's at the district level, so there's kind of no point. Sure. But I'm interested in just looking at it more and just seeing, because it looks, the video looks really good. Looks like easy to use interface. So, but we'll continue on here. Any of you guys have wrestling? Because Molly Kate Wino W-I-N-O. So Molly Kate W-I-N-O on Twitter also said that she uses Matt Doc. And when I asked her about it, she's like, you know, for wrestling, you have to look at a lot of skin issues. So any of you guys used Matt Doc?
No.
Nope.
I have not, but I looked at it when you had it on the show notes, and looks like there's some very useful information there. So,
all right, so if you have wrestling or if you have skin issues, then you can check out Matt Doc. And again, I have a link there for Apple and Android for both for that app. So check that out there. All right, one of the things we always deal with, I had Tim Heller, one of our local news people on the show, is weather. And so we use MX Weather Sentry, which is by Schneider Electric. And again, that's provided for us by the district. The district pays for it. We use that. We have an app on our phone. Tells us, it kind of tracks wherever we are. And it also does the app, like for our high school, for our stadium. So they set up preset locations by the administrator. They set, and then it sends us text if we set it up. It sends us emails so that we can say, hey, everybody, this is, there's lightning within our warning area. You have to clear the area. Or, hey, we're all clear. There's no lightning within the 30 minutes within the warning area. And so I like Weather Sentry, but it's what we are provided and it's what we have to use. So, Lyle, what do you have for weather?
I'm fortunate in that that's not my deal. That's between the GM and the umpires, and I can give suggestions, and I use Weather Channel that tells me where lightning is struck in the area. But other than that, it's a ball there. That's above my pay grade.
All right, Jordan.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing here. The school district that I work for, I give suggestions, but really it comes down to the officials. They're kind of the ones that get the last word. So I do a lot of communication with the athletic director as well as the officials, kind of keeping them up to date on what I think. I usually use the app WeatherBug. It has a good spot. It's called Spark. It has a good lightning detection kind of in the last 30 minutes. That's the one that I kind of go to most of the time when I'm dealing with lightning or anything like that or severe weather. So I would say if the one weather app that I use the most would be WeatherBug. Just because it's free and you're able to pull up Spark and it gives you the last 30 minutes.
All right, so WeatherBug there. And then the Clint, I know you wrote Lightning Cast, so tell me a little bit about Lightning Cast.
Yeah, you know, Lightning Cast, it's more about actual lightning strikes. You know, it's not necessarily overall weather patterns. And there is a subscription to it, but I like it because you can set a certain range from where you are. And it will give you notices within, you know, basically within 5 seconds of a lightning strike, you're getting a notice. So it's near real time. And what I liked about it most was because it's a notification on your phone. I wear an Apple Watch. If I don't have my phone turned on, the buzzer turned on or whatever, I may not hear that there was a strike, but it's gonna buzz my wrist and remind me, hey, there's a lightning strike, and then I can communicate that to my coaching staff, my administrators, and so forth. So, like I said, I think it's like $6 a year, something like that. But there is a cost to it. So,
all right. So you just gave us enough evidence to justify buying an Apple Watch with our athletic training budget because
exactly.
It's for athletics.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Good I enough. Can say that I use an Apple Watch every day. A lot of times whenever I'm doing treatments, I'll set my phone in my office or set my phone on a desk. And if I'm in the middle of doing manual therapy or something with somebody and my farm director calls because he's wanting to move a guy, if I miss that call, I'm kind of in trouble. And my Apple Watch can at least tell me, you know, who's calling and if I need to, hey, I need to take a break and go shut the door and, you know, move so-and-so to Clinton or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I'll second that. I also have a smartwatch, and like I said, it's for fresh and athletic training. It's great because you may not be able to get to your phone right away. It could be in your pocket, and it's great to be able to look down at your wrist and, like I said, see if a coach is calling you or see if it's somebody else that's not really that important to call right then.
Yeah, my impetus for the Apple Watch was so my wife could get in touch with me but not interrupt practice. So
I wonder how many ADs are going to approve that for you, Jeremy.
Who knows? I mean, they approved me buying a stereo for the athletic training room.
Very true.
There you go.
Easy enough. I mean, we just got authoritative evidence from Clint Sanders
there you
about
go.
The need for an Apple Watch. And it was seconded by three different people. Actually, I have a smartwatch. I have a Garmin, so it does the text. It doesn't do all the stuff that the Apple does as far as the calling, but I really enjoy getting the text on my watch because there's times where I don't hear it in my pocket or feel it in my pocket, and so I definitely notice it then. So
I do feel like the outcast now since I'm the only one out of this group that doesn't have a smartwatch.
Yeah, well,
they're cheap now. You can get them anywhere, right? That's
sorry. I just dug out my old Fitbit, and once I start spring training, I'm gonna run a little validity study and see which one gives better results for heart rate and steps. And really, the outcome is going to be which one I like better, which one it says gets more steps.
There you go.
I don't know, better or not, make me feel better anyway.
Right.
One other lightning detection that there is that I know of too. We used Weather Sentry at Rice, but ThorGuard. That's a one that is out. I don't know. I have not used it for several years, but I do know it's obviously a purchase thing that you have to. They bring in the equipment for you and stuff like that. We had it at Texas State. It was pretty good. Sent text alerts and a buzzer that would go off there in the stadium or close to the stadiums, close to the athletics field, so that you could hear kind of like a fire alarm, so that you know that there's a lightning detection as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Mike Hopper at Bishop Lynch uses that, and he said that's the cool thing is once that alarm goes off, there's no questions of are you sure? Hey, let me see the phone. No, that buzzer went off, and we're going inside. So
right. Yeah, and, it's pretty hardware intensive though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But now I have used the Weather Sentry, and I've been sitting there looking at it, and like, all right, we need to be getting in because I know that there is weather around.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
Whenever I was at College Station ISD as a student, they actually had both the ThorGuard and the Weather Sentry. I guess they were in a period where they were using both of them. And it was really interesting to see Weather Sentry set up where whenever there's a lightning strike within the area, they had it set up to the coaches' phones and to the athletic trainers' phones. So as soon as they would get as soon as it would set off the Weather Sentry, they'd get an alert that said, you know, it's within the warning range or within the danger range and get off. But then the ThorGuard would go off just like 2 seconds later, and they used the both of them. It was kind of an interesting thing because it'd be kind of a game which one's gonna tell us to go inside first.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move on to social media. If you're gonna, what's your favorite avenue for social media, athletic training related, something that's gonna kind of help you out? Clint, we're gonna start with you this time. Favorite social media avenue.
You know, you guys brought up the Facebook secondary schools page earlier. I really like that page. I've been in a lot of good conversations there. You know, there's some that you're probably going to want to avoid, but for the most part, you know, you can find a lot of good resources there. And I think more than that, network with a lot of good people. You know, so you start meeting people that are ATs all over the nation, not just that local group that's right around you, and you find out there's a whole lot more going on in the profession than just what you're used to. And so I would say that one for sure would be a highlight for me. So,
all right, Jordan, your favorite social media avenue?
I would say probably I like Twitter. It's like I said, there's a lot of stuff on there. Seems like there's a lot of communication on there. And Facebook's a good one too. I know I don't get out and socialize a lot with a lot of the other athletic trainers from different regions and stuff. But I've worked a couple different states across the country, and it's very interesting to see how people do things differently. You know, one part of the state to another part of the state, and then from one state to another state, just kind of how athletic trainers go about their stuff. So I think that secondary page that a couple people have mentioned is a good page as well. Just like I said, you know, you can do one thing in one place, but, you know, there's going to be times where you're not exactly sure. There's different techniques or something that somebody ran into that would be able to help you. So I would say probably Facebook would be number one. Right up there would be Twitter, just being able to communicate with other people as well.
Gotcha. Lyle?
I'm on Twitter a lot, and that's kind of where I more look at You know, I follow a lot of research PTs, a lot of research sports scientists, and a lot of athletic trainers, and just kind of see, you know, allied health in general, rehab sciences in general. There's a lot of really, really good information out there. Twitter's what I use most often. If I run into a problem, I'm fortunate enough to have developed a pretty wide network where, you know, if I'm confused about something or if I'm wanting to get feedback, there are plenty of people to call. So I appreciate that. So just Twitter and just having a phone are kind of my two biggest things.
Gotcha. All right. So Lau, if you were going to say a top three, okay, a top three follows on Twitter, who do you think they would be? Do I need to give you a minute?
You do need to give me a minute. Ask somebody another question and I'll look real quick. Okay.
Okay. So I actually, Twitter, I really like it a lot because it has broadened my horizons. There was a lot of issues happening outside of Texas, a lot of athletic training problems or salaries or people losing licenses or California type issues where they're not, there's not the practice protection or the name protection. And so Twitter has helped me to see that because it's not just here who I'm working with in the greater Houston area, but it allows me to actually across the globe to interact and meet with people. And, you know, several of the podcast guests have been just from Twitter. Either they've responded to me or I've seen something that they said and I wanted to find out more about it. So I really like Twitter. And again, we mentioned the Facebook group there. Sean, what is your favorite social media avenue?
So since I've only been on Twitter for about 2 years now, which has been, I guess I was real late to the party. And when I saw that some of the guys like Bob Marley and those guys were on Twitter, I was like, all right, I probably need to get on this and figure it out. But I actually really like Instagram. And for the purpose of this, I follow a lot of strongmen, CrossFit, PTs, different things like that. And what they actually put out there is a lot of good stuff that I can teach my kids, teach my athletes, teach people of, hey, this is my self-mobilization, or this is my self-treatment that I do on myself because I've got a tight lat, or to work on my lat. And I'll go and I'll take it and I'll try it on myself. People will always see me going and trying all these weird things there in the athletic training room. But, and then I could then use that to give it and say, hey, this is your homework for the weekend. This is to work on that scapular movement. This is to work on that hip mobility. This is to work on, and I've actually pulled a lot of information there, and I know some of the things like the pipes that you got to use. Those were pulled from somebody on Instagram, and had a lot of positive feedback from those types of things. So,
all right, Instagram. All right, Lau, back to you. You got it ready?
Yeah. So Noah Harrison has a lot of good stuff from kind of a functional rehab corrective exercise standpoint. Tim Hewitt and Dan Lorenz are really good for putting out a lot of orthopedic research articles if you're really interested in evidence-based practice and how the kind of what research is saying nowadays and things that people are putting out. They put out a lot of just articles on articles. And then a really good one, a guy who just he puts together a quarterly reading list that is just amazing. I wait for it every few months. His name is Aaron Swanson. He's another physical therapist. Those are kind of my top ones. I mean, if you're like me, we use a lot of PRI at the Mariners, so obviously like Ron Horus would be a great one to follow. Andrea Ospina is great from like the functional anatomy seminars and all that stuff. If you can handle the ego, then he's a lot of fun. He's really, really smart. Those are kind of the ones that I use a lot from maybe like a rehab sciences standpoint.
All right, that'll work. So say those names again. Did you say Dan Hewitt?
It's Tim Hewitt.
Tim Hewitt.
He's the director of biomechanics research lab at Mayo. And then Dan Lorenz. He used to be the PTATC for the Chiefs, I believe. He's a private practice owner now. Aaron Swanson. Yep.
Cool. All right, that'll work there. So I've got those listed. I probably have spelled them incorrectly, but it'll get you close. So, all right. So we've talked about the Facebook group. We like that there. Again, I really enjoy that. Another thing that I personally enjoy is Google Drive, because right now we're all able to look at the same document. We're all able to look at the show notes if Lyle wanted to type those in there, or Sean's over here typing stuff in, then we can do that. We can share stuff. But also, Rolando Salas shared some PowerPoints with me because I'm currently studying for the BOC. I was certified. I was responsible for the paperwork, and I lost it, so I couldn't send it into the BOC, and I just didn't have the CEU paperwork. So I was like, well, I'm just screwed, and I didn't know what else to do. Because I guess I didn't have a big enough network to talk to people and figure it out. So I just let the BOC certification go, where I'm still licensed here in Texas and can continue to practice. But I'm in the process of regaining that because it helps with the credibility of the profession and opens up more opportunities for me as an athletic trainer if I want to volunteer and stuff like that. So he just shared some of the stuff that he's used to study for the BOC and that he still had from school. So Google Drive is a great tech tool that I appreciate.
I know one thing that
go ahead.
I just was one thing that we had talked about. I know when we were talking about at Stephanie with SWATA, they use Google Drive a lot for signing up for volunteer for things like that. And that's a huge aspect for, I know, the SWATA meeting is to have them and have the volunteers for that committee.
So that's our district meeting here in Texas. So.
Right. We use Google Drive with TATS as well. The executive board, that's how we manage all of our documents, you know, keep track of the bylaws and a lot of that stuff. So, you know, Google Drive, and I'll say this too, Dragonfly does a lot of our business with Google Drive because we work remotely. And so, you know, when I'm interacting with the engineers, it's through Google Drive. So
yeah, for us, we have a, kind of an organization-wide Google Drive where we will share exercise videos on stuff that we've come up with, kind of variations on arm care, ways that we're, you know, engaging the core the way that we like to, and things like that. And we will send videos back and forth. Like maybe somebody goes to a conference and they video a cool manual therapy technique. We'll put that on the Google Drive, and that's kind of another way of us engaging in professional development and showing things that we use. You know, whether it's me in Clinton or Everett, or, you know, the guy that's in Tacoma, or the guy that's in Little Rock, or, you know, the guys that are there in Arizona, we can communicate and kind of share ideas via Google Drive, kind of the same way that Sean was talking about Instagram. We use Google Drive the same way.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lyle, is there a reason that instead of YouTube, you guys put it on Google Drive if you're videotaping a manual therapy?
For being proprietary, we don't want it for everybody. It's a competitive world, and we're trying to get every edge we can. And from what I understand, that's why we do the Google Drive more than anything else.
Fair enough. All right. So next thing, as we're continuing to talk about professional development and learning, I recently had an affiliate link with MedBridge, so I've kind of partnered with them. I know Jordan, you were one of the ones that talk about the home exercise plan, so I'm gonna get you to talk about that. But if you're going to sign up for MedBridge, then use the code THESMB, and that'll get you a savings. So you should be able to get, as a new customer, for $200 a year. So again, if you're going to use MedBridge, then use the code THESMB, which will save you up to $225, I think, a year. All right, Jordan, tell me a little bit about MedBridge, why you chose it as one of your tech tools.
Yeah, so MedBridge, so I'm fairly new athletic trainer, and when I got out of grad school, the job, I was working in a physical therapy clinic as well as doing some outreach with a high school, and one of the physical therapists there had mentioned MedBridge, and I was telling him I wanted to get a little bit more hands-on, learn a few more manual techniques, as well as trying to keep up on continuing education. Because every athletic trainer knows there's, you know, you've got to keep up on your education, so you might as well get some training that you want. The thing I liked about MedBridge is it tells you right up front if it's approved, if it's going to be approved by the BOC, if it's going to be evidence-based practice or not. And they have hundreds of videos, so pretty much any kind of technique that you want to learn or anything you want to, you know, new upcoming research. Whether it's evaluation techniques, whether it's evidence-based practice in rehab. And that's what I liked about it is I'm not having to go to a course and you know, might be a whole weekend course and only getting 10 minutes of what I want to get out of it. MedBridge, I can sit down, I can start a video, basically learn on the fly. You know, I can pull it up on my phone, I can pull it up on my iPad. If I'm sitting in the airport, if I'm sitting at home, I can watch a video. You get done with it, they have a couple questions. So that's the aspect of the video part of it that I like, or the education part. The other thing that I like about it that we mentioned briefly was the home exercise program. So working in physical therapy or working at a high school, it's nice to be able to print out exercise programs for people or our athletes and say, here, do this over the weekend. What I like about it is it's exercises that you learn in your videos are going to be in the home exercise program, section of MedBridge. So, you know, as soon as you learn about how to increase range of motion, or, you know, whether it's a certain breathing technique or something like that, those exercises are found right there. So kind of what you're talking about with the Dragonfly Max, you know, having the rehab section in it, if there's not exercise in there, you can put that exercise in there. And I like that because a lot of the exercise programs that are out there, there's, you know, a couple different programs that you can go to create plans for people. They're not necessarily going to have all those functional things that a lot of people are starting to use more often. They'll have the, you know, traditional exercises that people have been doing for 20 years, but they're not going to have the stuff that, you know, maybe up and coming or the evidence-based practice, kind of the stuff that a lot of people see as kind of out there. Those exercises are going to be on there. So I like that as well.
I got you. I used to use an IHEP. It's like iHome exercise plan or something like that. And then it was free and I was part of the beta testing thing. And then they're like, all right, well, thanks for all your work. Now you can pay for it. I was like, forget it. So now I'm kind of stuck with whatever print off I've had off the internet. And then I'll just like go and highlight these different ones. Yeah. So having that easily buildable home exercise plan would be a really good tool for me. So Clint, you look like you had something to say.
No, I've tried the IHEP, the same with the HEP to go. It's the same kind of thing. It's an online, you can create create that exercise program. What I found on those, because they were web-based, you ended up essentially recreating the same program over and over. We do have those kind of features built into Max, and we've really tried to make it where it's customizable for the AT. We've got some kind of generic exercises built in, but it's more, look, you're the one doing this on a regular basis. Put in the instructions you want, take the pictures you want, shoot the video you want, however, and send that to your athlete. And, but I've not seen MedBridge from that side. I've only seen the continuing ed piece, and I've been impressed with MedBridge just with the level of instructors that they have with all the continuing education stuff. So
the HEP to go, I'd actually written that down too. That's very similar. That's something that I've used a lot. Obviously, hadn't seen the X before or used it before. I'm gonna go and look at it myself. But that one thing that you can do, it's really good for especially those athletic trainers that I know. I get it all the time. Hey, my sister that lives in Illinois has a rotator cuff issue, and you can kind of go on there, throw a list of exercises together, and send it as a text, and it'll go to their cell phone or to their or you can send it as an email or anything like that. And some of the things, you can add stuff to it as well, very similar, and add things like new exercises that you want to put on, something that you like, and you can make it private or you can make it public. And you can save like plans for, let's say, a rotator cuff, or you can save plans for different things like that. So I know I've used that quite often, especially with having athletes go on Christmas breaks or things like that, where it's just really easy to send something off to them. But
yeah, I've used the HEP to go as well. And I would second that one. I mean, that's, like I said, if I didn't have a MedBridge subscription, that's the one that I would use. Because like you said, the problem is some of those online ones, you create a plan and then it seems like 2 weeks later, OK, kids coming in, he's got the same type of thing, and you end up creating the same type of plan. But, you know, if you're doing the functional rehab aspect of it, you know, a basketball player ankle sprain, you should be treating a little bit different than, say, a football player. So I like to be able to have those plans that are kind of they call them templates in the MedBridge. And I like having those templates because then I can kind of customize a plan, but I'm not starting from scratch. So that's one thing I like about the MedBridge is they have those templates that you can create. So you're not going back to recreate a whole entire plan. It makes it a little bit faster. And then, like I said, you can add, delete. If you want to add comments, if you don't like, you know, how many sets they have listed there, you can change that. So that's one thing I like about having those templates is you're not going back to recreate the same plan over and over and over again, or handing out the same printout that you might have for 5-6 years that you're handing out to the same kids.
All right, Lyle, do you have a go-to for home exercises or like paper printout?
I generally make those myself. I use a lot of PRI exercises, and so I'm fortunate that we've purchased the PRI exercise library, and we'll go from those. And then otherwise, I mean, in the nature of my work, I see them every single day. So usually what ends up happening is I see guys maybe once every week or once every 5 days, and we kind of do a tune-up on whatever they're doing and maybe change their exercise program. But they come in and they have a binder. They open their binder and it gives them a list of what their exercises are. And so I'm usually right there. And if they have a question, they can ask me. I know that's different from the way most people are. And, you know, I have a little tailored population where I only deal with 25 guys at a time. So honestly, the one that I would use if I was in a situation where I had to send people home and whatnot, there's an app called Athletic Trainer Plus for the iPad that lets you look at an exercise library and build a set of exercises that it's a pretty good set of functional exercises in their library. And you can build what you're going to do with them, and you can send it to them in an email, and the email will contain the videos that goes with that. We did that in grad school, and I appreciated it. Now it's just, that's not something that I have a terrible need for.
All right. So I'm definitely going to look into these some more, and hopefully we can build, just like Jordan was saying, the templates. So Lyle, you sent me, I think, 2 screenshots, which I believe I have both of them here. Or at least one of them, of the apps that you have on your iPad. You have Apocrets, Core, Essentially Anatomy 5, Anatomy Map, NerveWiz, Good RX or Prescription, and then Cam Scanner. So I think those are the ones that you sent me. Why don't you go through those and talk about those a little bit, Lyle?
Well, Hippocrates is a prescription medication app, which is really helpful because we deal with so many guys who take prescriptions. I'm looking at it right now. You can go on and, you know, you type in whatever drug they're taking, like say type in Mobic. If you have a guy that's on an anti-inflammatory, and it'll take and it'll show you what the dosing is normally for it. Contraindications and cautions, adverse reactions, drug interactions, black box warnings, pharmacology, and then pictures of the pill. And then you can check its interactions with other things. And it's a prescription library. So, you know, a lot of times we'll have guys show up and they'll say, oh, I was told to take this during off season or whatever. And this way you can kind of look at it and see what exactly it is, maybe what the half-life is, what kind of adverse reactions they may have, and just another tool to look at pharmaceuticals. And it includes prescriptions, but it also includes over-the-counter drugs. So you can look at ibuprofen, you can look at, you know, whatever else you have in your toolbox from an OTC standpoint. Core is an app that lets you look at orthopedic tests. Like I was saying before, like you can sit here and click on a hip, and then for hip it says different types of tests, whether it's alignment, a differential test, labrum, or, you know, muscular tests. And click on it, it'll tell you how to do the test. It'll tell you its EDP information, so like validity, reliability, all of those things. And it'll also give you a YouTube video of how to do it. And it's pretty comprehensive. Like I say, it's like McGee in an app.
All right. So before you leave that one. Yeah. If I click on it right now, it's a $39.99 app. I guess it's a $40 app in the Android store. Is that something that you would recommend for anybody to buy? I mean, I don't know if you're working for you or
spent $200 on your McGee textbook, and you have to carry that around with you. This you can put on your phone.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we just get so used to everything being free and cheap and, you know, $1.99 for an app. No, I'm not paying that. And then you're looking at $40 for an app. But all right, fair enough.
I mean, look at the expensive textbooks, and textbooks aren't necessarily going to be up to date. I guess it just depends on whether you want to have a reference in your hand or a reference on the bookshelf, you know?
Yeah. All right, we'll continue down your line. You had Essentially Anatomy 5.
So Essential Anatomy 5 is just a really good anatomy app that lets you visualize the skeleton. You can go in, it lets you pick different systems to apply to a skeleton. So you can layer on muscle, you can put arteries, veins, nervous system, connective tissue. And the way I use it is if I have an athlete who has a question about what's going on with whatever his pathology is, or if he's having a question about his body, you know, I can only explain so much with words and hands. This allows me to, like, if a guy's asking about why he's having pain on the back of his shoulder and I say it's something to do with his posterior cuff or something to do with his lat, that's Greek to him. He doesn't know. So unless I've had a couple who have been, you know, maybe they did kines in college or something like that, but for the most part, they don't know and they're curious. So this allows me to kind of pull this up and say, yeah, your subscap's right here. It inserts back here or whatever. I mean, subscap's on the front of the scap, but say posterior cuff, infraspinatus, teres minor, you know, it inserts on this medial border and it inserts over here, and, you know, talk to him about it in that way. Usually helping to visualize things helps them understand things better. And that, you know, it's great for school, obviously, while you're still in school learning about anatomy, but I use it more for patient education standpoint nowadays. Right. Same thing with Anatomy Map. It's if you're familiar with a textbook called Trail Guide to the Body, it's a palpation anatomy textbook, and this is kind of an accompaniment to that. It gives you just a plethora of drawings of all different parts of the musculoskeletal system. And it's, again, something that you can use from an education standpoint. If you're a nerd like me and want to quiz yourself, it has a quiz option. Just another reference. Same thing with, I actually have one called NerveWiz. And NerveWiz was developed by some folks at the University of Michigan. And it's a way of, you can just look at a chart and it'll, you know, say for what innervations, for what muscles. So I'm sitting here looking for upper extremity, it says C3, C4. You have upper trap, C4, C5, rhomboid, C5, C6, and it gives you all the list. And that way, if you have somebody that has referred pain or somebody who has, you know, a pain pattern that maybe doesn't correspond with a mechanism injury, you can kind of look at that and correlate things with maybe, you know, spinal inversions and things like that. I find it really helpful. And I don't think NerveWiz was that expensive. GoodRx is really, really great if you're like me and you're on the road and maybe you have a guy that doesn't have insurance and you're trying to find a prescription. You can go to GoodRx and you can type in what medication you want. You can type in the dosage that the doctor put in on the prescription. So, you know, say we put in Mobic and we want to do, you know, 15 tabs of 30 milligrams or whatever. And then you put your location and then you hit find lowest price, and it gives you the closest and the least expensive places, pharmacies that sell these. And it usually has a manufacturer coupon that you can apply and just shows you where you can get things the cheapest. Like I say, if I'm in Spokane, Washington, and they don't have a pharmacy that they like to use, but there's a bunch of pharmacies there, and I have a guy that needs a prescription for an antibiotic, I can type in that antibiotic and it'll tell me where the cheapest place to get it is. And I found it helpful. CAM scanner is another one that's just really good for everything that I do with paperwork and EMR for baseball has to go online. And so if I have a paper referral slip from sending somebody to the doc, I have to put it online so that, you know, the powers that be can look at it, being, you know, our coordinators and things like that. So I use the CAM scanner app and it takes a picture of a page, and then it converts that picture into a PDF, and you can set the borders of the page. So it's a really nice, clean PDF of whatever you just took a picture of. And then you can either send it to yourself as a PDF, or you can send it to a cloud and have access to that cloud where it's password protected. And I showed up to my site last year and didn't have a scanner, and so I just used CAM scanner, and it's just the same. It's really helpful from a portability standpoint and being able to do things, put them onto, you know, a cloud or, you know, our EMR or whatever.
Okay, so I'm really bad at taking pictures of documents.
Documents?
Yeah.
So do you have any tips?
Just put it right above. Make sure you have good light. Make sure it's a dark background. And turn your flash off, make sure you have good light so you can turn your flash off. And if it's on a dark background, so like a blue or a white paper on a blue surface or a white paper on a black surface. And then with cam scanner, it actually puts the corners up. So then you can adjust the corners maybe if it does something funny. And that's kind of what I do.
All right. That'll work.
I will admit that, like the anatomy apps, those are something that you think, okay, I've done anatomy, I've had anatomy. But when you get one of those and you start going through it, it actually, you can re-educate yourself a lot on things that you might have forgotten or you might just not be that comfortable with. But it also, I got one when I took my dry needling course. It was the Visual Body Atlas, I believe. It is very in-depth. It's very similar. It's expensive. It is expensive. I believe it's $25, if I'm correct. But it's one of those where you can pull things away. You can put nervous system in. You can put vein arteries in. You can pull those out. You can put anything. And you can actually select something, make a tag on it, and make a note out there to the side. So if you're trying to learn or do something like that, and especially for those that dry needle or those that do manual therapies, you can actually show your athlete. And that's one thing that I've seen is you pull it up and you say, all right, you see, there's nothing here that I'm going to hurt, or there's nothing here that I'm going to have problems with.
Yeah. It's the essential anatomy does the same thing where you can layer things and maybe select something and hit a mode where it'll highlight it, and then you can pile the rest of the body on so you can kind of see where it sits in space, maybe how deep it is or things like that. It has a quiz function, it has a multi-mode select function, has a little pin so that I can draw, like if I'm trying to shade a certain part of a bone where I want to show somebody something, you can do that. It just allows you to manipulate anatomy and show things in a way that a book never could. And it also, like you say, it's good for education, and like you can hit a button for information, and if it's a nerve or if it's a muscle, it'll say what the muscle is, insertion, attachment, nerve supply, and then action, and kind of give something about it. And just for a reference standpoint, it's really great.
All right. I had another person respond via Twitter. Amy Jo Nelson said this was her list. She has weather bug, pace, impact, Medscape, huddle technique, and I know Lau, you mentioned that earlier, mat doc, which we discussed briefly, eye muscle 2, which I'm pretty sure is another anatomy one, and then sidelines it's an app called Sideline, and I think it was for the scat. I had trouble finding out because if you just type in sidelines in Google Play, then who knows what comes up. Then she said memory block. That was kind of for just playing games, entertainment, but also it helps with some of the concussion return to play. You know, they have to track it with their eyes and stuff like that. And then trail guide anatomy map, which is what you discussed earlier as far as anatomy map. So, Lau, why don't you tell me a little bit about Huddle?
Huddle is a camera app that you can it used to be called UberSense, and what you do is you can take a picture or take a video of somebody, and like if you're all in and you have the $30 membership fee, which I don't, it's like the elite membership or something, you can actually put videos on a cloud and then send like a playlist. I think it's built for like kids who are prospects that are trying to get recruited or something. I don't know, but that's not what I use it for. I use it because you can slow things down and you can go frame by frame and look at things like, you know, I'll video a pitcher, on the mound or doing a bullpen, or I'll video a guy hitting or, you know, whatever. And then that way, whenever we're in the training room, we can sit there and I can show and I can say, see how you don't get into your left hip. And because you don't get into your left hip, whenever you go from, you know, cock up through delivery, that's why you're having excess stress on your medial elbow or whatever. And it just allows you to move things kind of slow motion. And it's a little more user friendly than say the camera app is on the iPhone. And for me, I can store things, I can put things on a cloud, and then I can tag them. So I can say, like, say I want to look at a pitcher's delivery, you know, at the beginning of the year versus at the end of the year, and we can kind of do comparisons, or like before and after a corrective exercise technique, or before and after a manual therapy technique, or a visual recentering, or whatever it is that you do. And it allows you to kind of do a side-by-side comparison as well.
Do you do any before, like before practice, after practice kind of stuff to see fatigue and the influence that has?
We have other ways of measuring that. That's not something that I do. I'm sure you could, but we partnered with a company, I don't remember the name of it now, but they sent us an Android tablet and a musculoskeletal ultrasound head, and we would do musculoskeletal ultrasound pictures, and they figured out that you can correlate the shade of the muscle, like how dark or bright it is, with glycogen levels. And so we would do that before and after, and we would measure hamstring and gastroc in stance leg, and then we would measure flexor pronator group and dominant arm, and look at those before and after and see. It kind of gave you a red, yellow, green light system for how much glycogen they had before, and then you could see what the depletion was for after. And kind of if you did it after, it would say, you know, you need to focus on recovery more or less, or, you know, you need to make sure that you're eating these kinds of foods overnight for your recovery cycle. It was actually a really cool system. I don't know if we're going to use it again this year because we were doing it on a trial basis, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of our ways of measuring fatigue.
Sure.
How does Huddle compare to, like, I personally use Coach's Eye?
I've never used that. I couldn't tell you.
Okay. It's Coach's Eye, very similar. You can take video picture, whatever, and it stores it into its app. You can draw in your angles. You can slow things down. Even the one cool thing that I've noticed with that is if I take a slow motion in my iPhone camera, I can then upload it into the app, and it'll actually be ultra slow. So it's one aspect that I really like about it. You can draw in your angles. Mm-hmm. You can... I've used it personally on myself on like Olympic movements, Olympic lifts, or I've used it on a lot of my athletes in similar aspects, their elbow position, their running position. Sounds very similar to, and I've actually seen some things when people are talking about them online, comparing them. Some people say this is better, some people say that's better, but I just was wondering if you had used both.
No, I hadn't tried that one. I might look into it. Somebody that I worked with at a clinic whenever I was still an undergrad, he had a really cool motion detection app where you could draw lines and it would correlate the lines with their body and it would show how angles change through a motion. And it was really cool. And I remember it was really expensive and I was into it, but that was before I even had a smartphone. So, you know, once I got one, I started looking, I never could find it. If I can find it, I'll get back with y'all, but it was really good.
Are you guys using any of the, now that I'm been trying to figure out what it's called, but I can't remember. It's basically a perceived stress app. So it's something that you fill out. I know that some of the minor league organizations are potentially using it. I saw it when I was on their website one time. I know some of the soccer and rugby organizations are using it, but basically it's something that the athlete fills out when they wake up, and then they give their amount of sleep, how they feel, that type of stuff, and that kind of pops into the athletic trainers, strength and conditioning staff, and you can then kind of judge what your day is going to be like. If you need to limit their reps a little bit, if you need to limit their, especially with student athletes, I know there's a good potential there for student athletes that, are you guys using anything like that?
We have been messing around with some wearables. I don't remember what the name of it is, but Brandon Marcello is kind of the guy who's pushing it. I know it's used by the US military and it's a little wearable kind of Fitbit looking thing. And it'll give you a number for fatigue based off of sleep and based off of energy usage, according to heart rate and things like that. And it's pretty responsive and it'll tell you like throughout the day, you ebb and flow and what your number is, and like 100 is the best. And if it's like fatigue that's below 40, it's the same as being a zombie or something like that. And, I know we've messed around with that. We've messed around with Whoop bands. We're trying to get into a little bit of heart rate variability stuff. Having read the polyvagal theory and kind of seeing what you can correlate RSA, respiratory sinus arrhythmia, with, that's something that I would look forward to doing, but I don't think we're there yet. there are plenty of things that are out there. Problem is that once you get to the big league level, their players association with their CBA, they forbid the usage of wearables on the field. So any kind of, you know, catapult or whoop band or anything like that that you would have them wear during activity, they're not allowed to wear them on the field because, you know, there's the question of how much these devices are going to play into their whether they're going to play or not and things like that. So that's something that we're not able to do once they get to that level. But while they're minor leaguers, we can still mess around with some of that stuff.
Something I would say, and I know that we've done this, and I know that there's different people that do stuff like this, is just like with the Fitbit. How many people have a Fitbit? How many people even wear them at practice, you know, high school sports, college sports? Something that you can do as an athletic trainer is if you're seeing some of your maybe starters or let's just go into an example of a starting wide receiver, football, mm-hmm. obviously. You can kind of talk to them and see what their Fitbit said. See what they ran through the practice. See what they ran through the day. And you can kind of compare that to the rest of the group and be like, all right, hey, your recovery is probably going to be pretty shot right now because you ran 7 miles during practice and that was 7 miles at a sprint. So that's something that I know I've used, I've seen, I've talked to people that have used things like that, and it's pretty cheap and relatively okay. Is it truly very real accurate? I don't know, but
I would question the reliability because I just read a study. It was actually one that Dan Lorenz put on Twitter about the reliability of these heart rate trackers. And it looked at the Fitbit and the Apple Watch and another one, and it had them go through the day wearing all three of those, and then also wearing a traditional heart rate monitor. And the one that was the most accurate, I think it was accurate 95% of the time, where the other ones were below 80, was the Apple Watch. And that surprised me. But just understand that these wearable fitness trackers are really good for like our own personal use. But as far as, you know, accuracy according to body type and composition and activity levels and how much their heart rate is going to change, there hasn't been enough validity studies done to say whether it's something that we can use to make clinical decisions or not.
Obviously, I was just saying more so in a general view type.
Yeah, like a one person type of thing.
Yeah.
Great. Yes, definitely.
All right, Clint, what else do you have as far as things that we have not covered, tech tools that have helped you?
You know, for me, a lot of the apps that I have on my phone are really more productivity apps. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I like to kind of track the hours that I'm working during a day, and there's an app called Hours on the iPhone that I use to kind of see where am I spending my family time and my personal time and my work time and what am I doing during those. I like that one a lot. I was trying to look through my phone while we were talking a little bit, see some of the others. I use an app called PDF Expert, which is similar to, I think, some of the camera stuff, the cam scanner. It doesn't necessarily do the pictures itself, but anything you can have a PDF of, you can store in PDF Expert. What I like about it is I can keep NATA position statements. I can keep just whatever documents are coming to me. I can keep those on my iPhone as a PDF. It's a smaller file. Got access to it right away. And then I'm a big podcast guy, so I've got a podcast player, Overcast, that I use a lot on the drives and things like that. That's just to keep me entertained. I did run across a while back an app called Aegis Shield. It's actually a company based out of Nashville that does drug testing, and that's how I ran across it. But they've got Aegis Shield is their app for nutritional supplements. And so they've got a feature where you can scan a supplement, and it will tell you, you know, what are the ingredients? Is this safe to use? There are some in-app purchases with it, and I know they've got it set up for, like, different leagues, like Major League Baseball's in here, NASCAR, NFL, stuff like that, where if it's a banned substance for that particular league, this will tell those guys right away. But they've just got a basic one as well. It's like $3, and for secondary school level, it's a great use there. So
And is that in partnership with Drug Free Sport? Because they're the ones who kind of run all of our stuff.
It may be. I don't remember. That conversation I had was probably 2 years ago. But I think that may be the case, that they're connected with them. Aegis is a lab that does the drug testing at a lot of different institutions. And they have software that does the random selection and all that stuff for drug testing. But the Shield app is for those athletes to be able to, you know, I don't want to go ask the AT every time I want to get a new supplement. I'm at GNC and I want to check something out. This is an easy way to do it. And they're going, Aegis is going and testing each of those supplements to tell you exactly what's in that supplement. It's just gives a little more, you know, a little more evidence to what's in those things. I know, you know, with none of that really being FDA approved, you know, it can be questionable. So it gives the athlete another chance to second guess before they take something that maybe isn't the best thing for them.
We prepare our athletes very easily. We tell them that if it doesn't have an NSF seal on it, that they should expect to get popped. And right. if they buy something with without an NSF on the label, then it's at their own peril. Otherwise, that's all we do with them, and that's what we do, and that's what our strength staff does. Okay. And that makes it a lot easier on us.
Yeah.
Easy enough. All right. Last question will be about entertainment. If there's one app you use for entertainment, and then since Clint, you said you listen to a lot of podcasts, if there's one podcast that you would recommend, so one app for entertainment while you're waiting time, during wait times or whatever, and then one podcast that you listen to. If you don't listen to it, that's okay. And we'll start with you, Clint.
For entertainment, I would say there's an app called Mini Metro. It's one where you're building train tracks and you're putting out these little paths and just gives you something to do if you're just trying to kill some time. That one's fun to me. One podcast I listen to, I'm geeky, so I listen to a lot of Apple related stuff. The talk show by John Gruber is one that I listen to a lot. But I also like Chris Linker's AT podcast. So I would encourage athletic trainers to check that one out.
All right, Jordan, same question.
Yeah, I would say probably YouTube. Like I said, there's a lot of information out there. That, and then like I said, I have MedBridge on my phone. So if I'm sitting, not doing a whole lot, I get on MedBridge, watch videos. Makes it real nice because the video segments are usually only, 20, 30 minutes long, maybe each chapter for that. So 20, 30 minutes, if I have that, I sit down and can watch it right on my phone, right on my iPad.
All right. And do you listen to podcasts?
I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. Nope.
That's all right. That's all right. All right, Lyle.
From an entertainment standpoint, there's a lot of apps that are very entertaining. Something that's kind of cool to look at is I look at Reddit a lot. They have a lot of different topics, and there's even an athletic training subreddit that has pretty good information, whether it's, humor or news or videos. I mean, you'll find whatever on there, and I'm on Reddit a lot. As far as podcasts go, I mean, I listen to so much because I do a lot of driving and a lot of riding on a bus. But kind of from a clinical standpoint, I really like the Evidence in Motion podcast. They gear it towards PTs, and it's a little bit PT Big Eye Little You, if you know what I mean. But it has good information. They interview interesting people. More for like a personal entertainment, I like the Undisclosed podcast. It's about like wrongful convictions and things like that. I think that's pretty interesting.
All right, Reedy.
Apps I'm not real sure of, but two that I would mention is, and I don't know how reliable this is, the comparison to it it was comparable, but if you're using it every time, it would be okay, is the Goniometer app. That's one thing for athletic trainers. So that is one thing that I would like to add. I probably honestly, any time that I'm just on my phone, it's just probably Facebook or Twitter or, like I said, Instagram. and trying to look at a lot of those different things, or checking out the PRCA standings right now for rodeo, professional rodeo. But podcasts, I spend a lot of time in the car too, so I'm listening to a lot of different ones. I think several of those that you guys have mentioned are good. One that I really like, obviously it's more of a performance training, but they also put a lot, they sometimes have like Brent Brooke Bush, he has a educational deal, he's been on there. There's been a lot of different like Olympic weightlifting coaches on there, a lot of different collegiate strength coaches on there, but they also talk in the performance and getting better and stuff like that. Would be the Power Athlete Radio, so that's probably one of my favorite, and I like them the best.
All right, and for me, I don't put games on my phone because, like, I've got a problem. And so I would be sitting at home with my kids, like, Dad, play with me. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to kill these zombies on my phone. So I don't put games on my phone for that reason. So normally if it's for entertainment, it's like Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, social media of that type. And so it's a lot easier to just put down and walk away. And so that's typically what I do if I'm – yeah, using my phone for entertainment. And then the podcast, obviously besides a sports medicine broadcast, which Sean for you failed to mention that he's listened to every episode. Freaking
this
Sean.
Is true. This is
freaking
true.
Sean. I think my favorite one is Family Life Today from Bob Lapine, Dennis Rainey, because that's the most important thing to me, is my family and raising children that kind of follow what I do, that honor God. And so if I fail there, then I failed in everything else that I do. And so for me, that one's the most important. That's the one I listen to the most. And so check those out. Check out podcasts. Check out some of these apps. If you want to find out more about any one of these guests, then we're going to tell you how to do that. Lyle, somebody wants to get a hold of you. What is the best way to do that?
Twitter, Lyle T the AT. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook if you want. Those are probably the two best ways. I mean, my phone's always on me. If I'm not busy, then I'll respond. If I'm busy, then I'll respond when I'm not.
All right, Lyle T, the AT. All right, Jordan.
Yeah, I would probably say Twitter as well. I always got my phone in my hand, so it's probably the easiest way.
And that is WEEZYJAT, is that right?
Yep.
There's an underscore in there, right?
Underscore, yeah. Okay. WEEZY_ATC.
All right, and I have that here in the show notes in case you want to look at that. So check that out, and which I just tweeted out the show notes that has all these apps if you don't want to wait. And then, Clint, someone wants to get a hold of you.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at JCSanders613. Or you can shoot me a message, through Dragonfly. My Dragonfly email is clint@dragonflyathletics.com. I'm still old school, I guess. I use a lot of email, so that's an easy way to reach me. But either of those is great.
Yeah, I kind of like email. It kind of keeps everything in line, so it's easier for me to find. But, again, I try to be everywhere. Sean, somebody wants to get a hold of you.
Sean Reedy_ATC.
Sean Reedy_ATC. All right, so we mentioned MedBridge, again, if you're going to use it, use the affiliate coupon, the SMB, and it'll save you money. And then obviously it's an affiliate, so I get some sort of kickback from there. And then with this episode, we'll be coming out at the very tail end of March. So that's National Athletic Training Month. Hopefully you have registered and are going to be on the receiving end of one of the multiple prize packages that I have. And you guys here that are guests on the show, make sure you register as well. Check them out. It'll be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NATM. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NATM for those prize packages for March 2017. And this episode, again, is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/technology. So hopefully this has helped you. You picked up a couple tools and apps that you can use. And again, we're all about adding value to you, the athletic trainer. I am Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. For all my guests, that is a wrap.